Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And we back.
Yes!
And we back.
Oh, it is.
It
is! The Alex Donner Show on a Thursday. An abbreviated Thursday. Thursday Night Football coming up tonight on this radio station. I got fantasy lineups to set, man. So with you till 8 o'clock tonight, Tito Banach, the master of the cold-ass food takes, is on the other side of the glass. This is almost like a quarterback controversy week. You got the one happening in Davie that a lot of people are kind of excited about, right? Brocktober, Brocktoberfest, Hard Brock Stadium, Detroit Brock City in town this week. People are kind of enjoying that ride with Brock Osweiler, who, I mean, listen, I can remember scrolling through social media hour and a half before this past Sunday's game against the Bears. And man, the negativity towards Brock Osweiler, who I've said a lot of nasty things about over the last couple of years, right? Houston Osweiler, terrible. Version 2.0 in Denver, brutal. When Osweiler started a playoff game in Houston, the worst playoff quarterbacking performance I've ever seen in my life. And he went out there this past Sunday, had a damn fine game. So did the defense, so did the offensive line, so did the running game. It wasn't all on Osweiler, who did throw two interceptions in that game. But he executed Adam Gase's offense very well. He made plays. Then down at Coral Gables, man, the responses, it's been a bloodbath this week concerning Mark Richt, who made the announcement yesterday on the ACC media conference call that he's going back to Nakosi Perry, or going back to Malik Rozier, I should say. Before we get into all that, though, I do want to give out the code word. People are already angry. If I say like three words without giving out the code word, the text machine, it goes bonkers. So here is the code word. It's time for your chance.
Bro, code word.
Code word, bro. Yeah, I've gotten like two of those already. It's time for your chance to win $1,000. It's the 560 WQAM $1,000 touchdown contest. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word weather, W-E-A-T-H-E-R, to 72881, and you are registered. Text weather to 72881 now. If you don't win this time, your next chance is tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. with Joe and Zach. WQAM's $1,000 touchdown contest is brought to you by Gunther Mazda. Get to know the all-new premium Mazda lineup at Gunther Mazda today. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Texter says, hey, the Dolphins backed into that win after Cody Parkey missed that 47-yard field goal. Well, yeah, but also, if Kenyon Drake hadn't fumbled on the goal line, the Dolphins would have scored a touchdown there before Detroit or before Chicago even had a chance to miss that field goal. So there are a lot of wonky, wacky plays in that victory over Chicago. But to the Canes, who they are on a bye week this week. I thought this was going to be kind of a quiet week. Didn't you? I mean, I know that you had the quarterback controversy in the Virginia game last week. You know, Nakosi Perry was pulled after four drives, six throws, two interceptions. Richt did not like what he was seeing, went right back to the fifth-year senior in Malik Rozier, who, I don't know, didn't play much better than Perry. Miami still lost that game on the road, 16-13. So, yeah, you had a quarterback controversy brew this past Saturday, but I thought heading into a bye week, things would kind of quiet down for the Canes. But then on Wednesday, Mark Richt announces that Malik Rozier is going to start the Boston College game next Friday. It's a gamble. Let me ask you guys this, 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. If, and I know this is by no means guaranteed to happen, but if Malik Rozier plays a decent to very good game against Boston College on the road next week and Miami wins. Will you give Rick some credit for making that decision? Does he deserve credit for making that decision if it translates into a Miami victory? And I ask that because I don't even know how I would feel about that. I mean, Nikosi Perry going back to the bench, it's discouraging. I've said it all throughout the week. There's more to this story. There has to be more to this story than meets the eye. There has to be more to this story than six throws and two interceptions against Virginia. I strongly stand by my opinion on this, which is an educated opinion, based on a lot of the breadcrumbs and clues that Rick has left over the past several months on Nikosi Perry's maturity and work ethic. We know Nikosi Perry was suspended to start the season for reasons that are not 100% confirmed, but may have had something to do with missing a team meeting. You know, it was probably a maturity issue no matter what it was suspended for the first game. And then when Mark Richt was interviewed at halftime of the Virginia game by Josh Darrow here on QAM, why did you make that quarterback switch? Why did you bench Nikosi to go back to Rozier? We needed some more maturity at that position. So to me, this is about more than six throws. This is about more than two interceptions, four series in one game. This has got to be about the professionalism, the work ethic, the study he puts into learning defenses. There has to be more to it than six throws he made against Virginia. So clearly, Mark Richt at this point, and unfortunately, you know, Nikosi Perry, unfortunately, Malik Rozier is not Ken Dorsey, even though you have skill positions where if you had a Ken Dorsey with the wide receivers and running backs that Miami has, if you had a Ken Dorsey, this team would be putting up a ton of points every single game. So the other option is not great. But Richt probably says, you know what? You know, and I thought Don Bailey Jr. raised a really good point today with Hockman and Crowder, that even though when Miami went up against Florida State's defense, where Rick did leave Nikosi in the game, and he helped lead a comeback, the defense was also fantastic, and the turnover chain was big, but Nikosi helped lead a comeback down 20 points to win that game. Even though Florida State has more talent on the defensive side of the football, the formations and the looks that they were throwing at Perry were far less complex and confusing than what he was seeing against Virginia, where he looked completely lost. But that probably prompted Coach Rick to launch the red flag of surrender or the white flag of surrender and say, we got to go back to the senior because that is our only chance to navigate through the defense that they're throwing at us. And I guess Rick is expecting more of the same against Boston College. So, I mean, my answer on how I feel about this quarterback situation is I can be disappointed and upset that the growth of Nikosi Perry is being stunted. But I can also say, okay, I can understand Mark Richt's logic, and I have to give him a certain benefit of the doubt, given that Mark Richt is watching, evaluating, and coaching every second of practice, while the majority of us, even members of the media, barely get to watch any practice. We're not breaking things down. We can't break things down the way the coaching staff does. We're not in meetings with these guys. There's a lot we don't see. So I have to give him a certain benefit of the doubt on that. Now, we don't know what would happen if Nikosi Perry starts the Boston College game, because he's not starting the Boston College game. Malik Rozier is. So if Malik Rozier goes out there and wins that game, do you give Mark Richt, Tito, do you give Mark Richt any credit if this gamble pays off? Because I know what's going to happen if Miami loses, right? Malik Rozier, I was going to call him Rozier. Malik Rozier, if he starts that game, plays poorly, Miami loses in Boston College, obviously the criticism for Mark Richt is going to be deafening. I know what happens if Miami loses that game. But if Malik Rozier wins that game, does Richt get any credit for that?
I think it's more dependent upon the performance of the QBs in that circumstance. You know, because if it's like a dominating defensive performance where, you know, Rozier is given short fields like Perry was against Florida State, then I think it's similar to the fact of the defense won the game more than Rozier won the game. But here's my other question for you, Dono, mm-hmm. is if he gets off to a similar start to Perry where he throws two early interceptions, you know, is 2 for 6, 2 for 7, 2 for 8, is he going to have the same leash with Rozier? Because I think, you know, you talked about being discouraged with Perry.
Right.
If you're Perry and you see Rozier get off to a similar start, maybe if not worse, because I think Boston College's defense is a lot better than Virginia's.
Yeah.
That I kind of think it's that says something if he doesn't get pulled out.
You know, I kind of think he would. We're not going to know it until it happens, and I hope it doesn't happen.
Right. I don't hope for any of this.
Yeah, no, and I understand that. I just want to make that clear that I am absolutely rooting for Malik Rozier to go out there and look like Peyton Manning in his prime. Like, I am rooting for Malik Rozier to play the game of his life because I am a Hurricane fan. He is my starting quarterback right now. I am rooting for everybody who puts on that uniform. But I'd like to think he would have a similar leash, and I say that because Mark Rick said something yesterday that even though Rozier's starting, he wants to give Perry playing time. I'm kind of wondering how that's going to work. Is that going to be situational? Right? Like when he didn't outright promise it, but he said he's going to give Perry playing time in that game at BC, even though Rozier's starting. So does he mean it's going to be situational playing time to run certain plays, to run certain formations, or are there just going to be certain points in that game where Rick just says, okay, Nikosi's got this series? Or is maybe Rick thinking, well, maybe Miami's going to be blowing them out. I would love to see that. You know, Miami's up double digits in the fourth quarter. You give Perry some playing time. I wonder what Mark Rick meant when he said he wants to get Perry in that game. Is he just trying to keep everybody happy, right? Is he trying to keep Perry confident enough and engaged enough not to lose him mentally by essentially promising him playing time before that game? Texter writes in, yes, give Rick credit. There's nothing more to the story. All caps, Perry can't read defenses, period. Maturity is another way to say someone who can read a defense. Another texter says, oh, I can't give props on an unknown. Perry may have won the game also if he was not pulled. Either quarterback could have a good game next week. Will he switch back if Rozier lays an egg in the first half? That was the scenario that Tito brought forth. I want to open up the phone lines when we come back. Oh, you also had a Miami Heat loss yesterday. The Orlando Bleeping Magic, they own us. 7 of the last 11 games, they've beaten Miami. We are going to talk to Ira Winterman at 7:20 tonight. Ira's a busy guy because the Heat play again tonight. They're on the road in Washington. The schedule gods are doing the Heat no favors. The only team in the NBA to open with back-to-backs, and it's a road back-to-back. Orlando last night, Washington Wizards tonight. So Ira is going to join us at 7:20. We'll talk some Dolphins. We'll talk some Brocktober with Safid Dean from the South Florida Sun Sentinel at 6:40 tonight. But we'll open up the phone lines when we come back. I'll tell you something that's going to put me in a better mood. After all this Hurricanes quarterback talk, I'd much rather talk about Kendall Toyota and Wes Kendall Toyota right now, because for over 50 years, my friends, Kendall Toyota and Wes Kendall Toyota, they have been your Toyota dealer, excelling in service, selection, and price, and always using cutting-edge innovation to make for a stress-free, no-haggle buying experience. You know how stressful it can be to buy a car. Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota, they take all of that stress away, my friends. From all the evolving dealer amenities to first-in-class service department and comprehensive collision repair center, you get everything you need all under one roof. The sales staff and overall dealer experience has earned the highly coveted Toyota Presidential Award, various governor awards, and an A-plus rating in the Better Business Bureau. Guys, this is a direct result from all of the great feedback of the loyal and lifetime customer base that they have. And also, being a certified Kelley Blue Book official dealer, this allows for extremely fast payouts on your trade-in. So before you sign on the line or commit to any vehicle you're interested in, come in and visit us online at Kendall Toyota or West Kendall Toyota, where you can see our lowest price and build your special online deal in minutes. It's so fast and so easy. KendallToyota.com and WestKendallToyota.com. It is all at Kendall.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Got to admit, I'm a little bit jealous because I heard that Hockman and Crowder had a winner for one of their hour's code words yesterday. I think it was for the 3 p.m. hour. I'm at an inherent disadvantage because I only get one code word per night because they end after the 6 o'clock hour, but I think I've only had one winner on one of these contests ever, and it was like 2 years ago. So I would love for one of you guys to win this hour. So I'll give you the code word again. This hour's code word for your chance at $1,000 is weather. Text the word weather, W-E-A-T-H-E-R. Text it to 72881 now. And if you don't win this hour, your next chance will be tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. with Joe and Zach. WQAM's $1,000 touchdown contest is brought to you by Gunther Mazda. Text comes in at 56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. You know, with all of the quarterback controversy at University of Miami between Rozier and Perry, a name that gets brought up a lot, I even brought it up on Twitter yesterday, Jaren Williams, that I'm starting to feel more and more like Jaren Williams could be the future of that program starting next year. But a texter writes, why are the Canes not using Jaren Williams? Are they redshirting him? Because from what I hear, he is smarter than Rozier, better arm than Perry. And if so, next year will be the man. If so, what does Perry do? Have a tantrum and leave like Bryant? Well, I don't even want to look that far ahead. But to answer the first part of your question, yeah, they're definitely going to redshirt Jaren Williams, but he actually could still appear in three more games without burning the red shirt. But the reason why they're not using him or turning to him yet is he's nowhere near ready. It doesn't sound like he's anywhere near ready anyway. I mean, anytime Mark Richt talks about Jaren Williams, it's very nice things to say about him in the future. But in the meantime, he's not ready to read defenses, right? You have Nikosi Perry right now struggling to read defenses. Jaren Williams, a true freshman, is nowhere near ready to do that, according to Richt. And so you say, well, why the hell not use him, some people say, right now? Well, they're still trying to win football games today, people. Look, I understand that the loss to Virginia likely put a nail in the coffin for any chance you had at the college football playoff, but you're still trying to win the Coastal. You're still trying to win the ACC, and you only have one conference loss. So you're not going to turn meaningful snaps or starts over to a true freshman who's not ready when you're not giving up on the season. Maybe some of you are giving up on the season, but the coaching staff, the players, and any fan with any logic is not giving up on the season, because you can still win the Coastal and win the ACC, even if you're very unlikely to sneak into the college football playoff. So I think there are very clear reasons why they're not going out there and using Jaren Williams. He may, you know, if you're winning blowouts at any point later in the year, he may get some game time, because you can use him three more times without burning the red shirt. They changed the rule this year. But they're not turning to him in meaningful snaps, because he's apparently nowhere near ready. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Rio. You're on QAM. What's up, Rio?
Hey, what's up, Dotto? How you doing, baby?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Well, I was actually at the UVA game.
Really? That must have been painful.
Yes. You know, I can't. It sucked because the fans weren't bad. I was waiting for them to trash talk after the game. So I was like, I was in a bad mood. But they were actually, you know, oh, that was a good game.
Yeah, you know, Rio, you know? I'll tell you, the same. I don't go to a lot of road games, but years ago, this was like 2007, I went to a road game at Georgia Tech where Kyle Wright's came, or it might have been, it was 2007, I think, under Randy Shannon. They lost up at Georgia Tech. I was at the game, and it was a painful loss, and I was in such a bad mood. I was kind of hoping that the fans there would trash talk me so I could get into it with them a little bit, but they were way too nice to the point where it bothered me.
Yes, it did, man. Like, on my way back, walking back to the car, they were just, you know, that was a good game. Well, you know, let's go get something to eat. Like, you know, I was hurt, man, because I was so upset. But going to the quarterback controversy, man, actually, I do not have a problem with going with Malik Rozier. I know I might be the very, very few that says that, but because I look at it this way, watching the game, watching Perry's throws, they say 2 for 6, right? That was the stat?
Yeah.
Something like that? All right, so he really went 4 for 6 because he threw 2 interceptions. That went straight into
just for the argument of correctness, I think it was 3 for 6 with 2 interceptions.
See, exactly. Like, the one deep ball that he threw in the middle of the field, I remember I was right there. I was right there when I saw it. It was to Mike Harley. Harley's a great, talented kid, but the kid is like, what, 5'9", 5'10", something like that? Like, if you're going to throw it to him, throw it on a rope, don't lob it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, the safeties were literally sitting in the middle of the field all game long. And it was crazy because there was literally another Canes fan right behind me, And the guy called out every single offensive play throughout the entire game.
Wow.
Like, it was crazy. Like, and I went back to him. I was like, hey, are you, like, a coach? He's like, no. He's like, I'm the dentist. You know, I work out here. But, like, it's the same vanilla offense. And I was thinking about him. Like, yeah, it's true. I think the problem with Perry, just like everybody says, he doesn't know the playbook. And I'm not trying to give him an excuse about it because he had a year under the system. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Where he sat behind Malik and also Evan Sheriff. You know what I'm saying? When he was battling with Kevin Tayden Weldon for the third quarterback last year. So he had a year under the system. They're still talking about his immaturity. They're still saying that he doesn't know the playbook. And it was evidence to UVA because, I mean, the kid was literally just throwing it to the DBs or, like, he just looked lost all game long. And it was upsetting. And I know Malik threw another interception, but the difference I feel like with, like everybody says with Malik and Perry is the arm strength and the accuracy.
Yeah.
But I believe that Malik does know how to read the offense. He's just not that talented like Perry. And just like you said before you pick up the call, like you said, the Texas said about Jalen Williams, I feel like that kid's the future. I feel like he's going to be the one. I just pray that he really takes this year to really understands the offense because the kid is talented. Perry, when he was in high school, he never took a snap under center. Jaren has. You know what I'm saying? He did it under shotgun. He did it under the center. I feel like if he takes that talent that he has and understands the playbook, that's going to be a quarterback battle. If there's a quarterback battle next year between Jaren Williams and Nikoshi Perry, I believe that Rick should just go with Williams because Perry had his opportunity to take it from Malik this year. And yes, he played well against Florida State, led the comeback. But I feel like his immaturity and he's not really focusing on the playbook and really understanding the defense because Virginia, he made UVA look like Alabama out there last Saturday, man. I mean,
well, and a lot of that, to be fair, I'm sure you'd agree, a lot of that was on Miami's offensive line as well. They really made Virginia's defensive front look like the 0-2 Tampa Bay Buccaneers or something.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Like, the offensive line, they had no push. It's just, like I said, it's upsetting. When I have another Canes fan sitting next to me literally calling every single play that was called on offense, like, it was upsetting, like, it's the same vanilla. Like, can we switch things up? I know the offensive line struggles, but we can switch things up. We have talented receivers. We have talented running backs. Let's put the ball in the playmaker's hands. Let's just go out there. Let's play some Miami offense. Let the defense handle what they do. And I felt so bad for the defense because they literally gave us the game to come back. Like,
yeah.
Those interceptions and turnovers we were getting back was back in our side of the field. And all we did was score two field goals and a touchdown. That was really upsetting. And I watching the game again, Pickney, I saw on the timeout when we gave the ball back to them again, I saw the frustration to defense. I saw Pickney really upset because I felt his pain because you're going out there, you're busting your butt on defense to get the ball back, and we're giving it right back on our side of the field. It doesn't make any sense. Like, we just need to, like I said, the quarterbacks, they need to step up and they really need to get back to the playbooks. And the offensive line, they need to step it up, man. They really need to step it up. Because Boston College is not an easy environment, man. Especially since they're doing the red bandana game. Yeah, you know the atmosphere is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Friday night game, primetime game. Like, we got to do something better, man. We got to step it up.
I appreciate the call. Always real. Always good stuff there. Texter says, let's keep scapegoating players from Mark Richt. Sad. There's blame to go around, people. I mean, don't think I'm just going to blame everything on the players when Rio said it best. That play calling was so predictable, and that's on Mark Richt. It's on Mark Richt. That doesn't mean you can also have issues with your players' maturity and your players' understanding of the playbook. Some people say, well, it's on the coaching staff to make these guys understand. Well, the coaching staff gets limited hours with these players every week. They've got to take a lot of that home with them. They've got to take a lot of those studies when it comes to film, playbook study. A lot of that is done in their dorm room, in their apartments, because the coaching staff can only spend a finite number of hours with these guys per week. So some of that has to be on the player.
Isn't it on Coach Richt to make it easier for a freshman quarterback like Nikosi? Like, we didn't see a single screen thrown. We didn't see spreading them out wide, giving him easy throws. There was a lot of downfield passing. For a young QB on the road, I feel like that makes it very difficult. And mind you, Richt is still one of the few coaches that runs that pro spread style as compared to a lot of guys still just run the spread all
right.
the time.
Yeah.
And I think the Rio alluded to that, which is that that's all Nikosi ran in high school.
Let's talk to Rudy. You're at QIM. What's up, Rudy?
Hey, bud. How you doing?
Good, man. How about you?
I'm doing well. I wanted to spell a couple things real quick.
Sure.
Because I don't think I could have followed a better call. I think it brings the conversation naturally to where I'm going. With play calling, particularly two things. You touched on it a little bit. The offensive line needs to improve. If we're going to put a lot of this on the quarterbacks, you need a running game to support that. And if you're only getting gains of, you know, no gain or 1 yard or 2 yards, that's going to be difficult. But to dispel this myth about play calling, there is at least, I don't know, 1,000 people in a stadium. If they watch enough football of their home team for a long enough time, you will know the plays your team is going to run. Doesn't matter what team you support.
Okay.
You're going to know the plays that they're going to run. It's a little bit of execution, but at the same time, I think the coaching staff made some very questionable decisions, but the one thing you can't criticize, I think, is the playbook. And what I've been hearing a lot this week is we have a 30-year-old playbook.
Right.
They've been calling plays for the same plays for 30 years. If we were calling the same plays of 30 years ago, we'd have two running backs in the backfield and our wide receivers. Two of them would be in three-point stance. So none of this is true. If you look at Miami's offense over the years, it's changed. We run RPOs. That didn't exist until like 5 years ago, 10 years ago. There's been evolutions. It's just not working for us.
I think what that came from was it was a question that Manny Navarro asked Mark Richt post-game in Virginia about the play calling, and Mark Richt said something to the effect of, well, I've been calling these plays for 30 years, and they've worked. So I think that's where the whole 30-year, if I'm not mistaken, I think that was the origin over the last 4 or 5 days of the 30-year thing.
Yeah, it's a severe lack of context that people are kind of using. It's like, has he been in the coaching game for about 30 years? A little less than that.
Yeah.
For the last 30 years, he was still a little more than 30 years, he was still a backup quarterback. So, yeah, he's been in the game for that long. This program has been, I don't know, it's run of success and not as much success over about 30 years. But the fact that they've been there, he's a head coach, that's why I think he's making that analogy. It's just, the play calling has been different. Has it been effective? No. That's what we can go after. So we want to find about finding new elements. Like if you look at mistakes that both quarterbacks made against Virginia and why they both had interceptions and why Rozier might have actually had more in the game if Virginia had kept their hands on a few, is that they both didn't look off safeties, didn't look off defensive backs. That was something that Perry did very well against Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
His touchdown pass to Brevin Jordan was by looking off the safety and keeping him at bay. He didn't do that in the interception to Harley.
I know you're as big a Canes fan as any. You're at every home game, Rudy. how do you feel about this quarterback situation? Because I tried to explain my thoughts on it as best I could earlier this hour. That on the one hand, I'm disappointed, frustrated, and kind of sad that we're having, you know, a setback here with Nikosi Perry, because I really wanted to see him quickly develop into the next great story at quarterback U, and this is clearly a setback for that. But I also have to give Mark Richt the benefit of the doubt in thinking that this demotion probably has more to do than just six throws at Virginia.
I think you put that perfectly opening your show today, and it's one of the first times I've heard you open your show, you know, in a while, but you said it exactly right. It's that we only can see as much as we do. We see it at the games. We have a pretty good perspective of what we're watching. We've watched football for a long time. If there's something there that we don't know, we kind of have to trust the coaches in that scenario. Mark Richt's been doing it for a long time. He's won a lot of games. He's brought us back from a point where, you know, it's kind of a good thing that we're talking only about the offense. We used to gripe about the defense for a long time. So at least we're moving forward in some way. If you look at this team, we're like the 2003 team. A lot of defense, and our offense just struggles to score points at times. But we're up there. I think he hit the nail on the head. We all want to see these players succeed. I don't care who starts as long as they give us the best chance to win. And I want to see them perform. But from what we've seen so far, I mean, they both kind of made similar mistakes.
Yeah, well, so, I appreciate the call as always, my friend.
Have a good night, bud.
Stuff there, and Rudy there. He used to be Sebastian the Ibis. He used to be in the suit. I could never say that when he was in the suit because that's, you know, a trade secret. But I think he's been out of the suit for close to a decade, but he used to be Sebastian. So I know he knows and loves that program, man. When we come back, we'll talk to a guy who actually used to cover Florida State, but now he covers the Miami Dolphins. Safid Dean from the Sun Sentinel is going to join us. Oh, by the way, Tito, we usually like Safid Dean is like our Simon Cowell. Whenever you have a new musical offering, he will judge that for you. Do we have a new Miami Dolphins song courtesy of Tito Benon?
We do. It's a brand new song.
Ooh.
Completely original.
Okay.
And should be a good one. I'm excited for Safid's reaction.
There we go.
Safid's reaction.
Yeah, this is a buddy of yours. You didn't even know how to pronounce his name until 2 weeks ago. He's going to join us from the South Florida Sun Sentinel when we come back. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Listen, baby.
Back here on the Alex Dono Show, 560 WQM. I'm a little bit disappointed right now. Apparently, this is going to get fixed before the segment is over, but I went out of my way to promote the excellent work that Tito Benach has done on a new Brock Osweiler song, and I wanted to play it here for Safid Dean from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, who's on the hotline right now. And then Tito tells me, hold on, I can't find the song that I made. You got to give me like 10 minutes and we'll have it for the end of the segment. I don't know. Safid, I feel like he might be afraid because you were such a tough critic a couple of weeks ago. I think he might be nervous that you're going to rip his song to shreds. What do you think?
Wow, Tito, I can't believe you, man. This is just another segment we could have here. This is our second one here. The first one was so great. I actually did like the Ryan Tannehill song. I was ready to put a freestyle on it. I told you we were going to make some tapes and sell it in Hard Rock Stadium. And now you can't even come up ready for this, dog.
Did you just say Hard Brock Stadium? Did you sneak that in there?
You heard what I said.
Yes.
Man. You heard what I said.
Brocktober. And I love the fact, Safid, that that Brock Osweiler actually likes Brocktober. I think this is exciting now that it has his seal of approval.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like most NFL players like to say, they don't have social media or pay attention to it, but the word of Brocktober definitely got back to Brock Osweiler, whether it was teammates or family members, and he hasn't heard many of the other puns, you know, like the Hard Rock Stadium, or I don't even want to say anymore, man. They kind of get corny after a while, but he's a big fan of Brocktober. He said he, you know, his favorite one is right now it's Brocktober, and that's all he's ready for right now. He's ready to get going on Sunday against the Lions.
And against the Lions, he's going to have the full week of, you know, it wasn't officially announced till yesterday, but I'm sure he's had the sense throughout the week that he's going to be the guy this Sunday. He's been taking first team reps all week. Is that something he's absolutely going to benefit from, or does Detroit kind of have an advantage that Chicago didn't? Because Chicago wasn't necessarily expecting to face Brock Osweiler, where the Lions have been expecting to face him.
I think more so than, you know, being expected to defend him. I mean, you look at Matt Patricia, the new Lions coach who coached the Patriots the defense for many, many years. He went up against Brock Osweiler several times. He's 1-2 against Osweiler, so Osweiler has a disadvantage there. But I think the biggest thing that probably helps Brock Osweiler here in his stint with Miami is his previous relationship with Adam Gase. Adam Gase had a hand in drafting Osweiler when they were in Denver together in 2012. And, you know, Brock didn't play much during those days. Peyton Manning was on the last couple years of his career. Peyton Manning was playing so much that, like, he didn't never wanted to come out of the game. There was a game instance I think you probably know, or our fans always know, that it's a popular gif of Brock Osweiler going to run for his helmet, then seeing Peyton run back onto the field. And Brock is just kind of in disgust because the Broncos, were up 5 touchdowns at that point. Had a 30-point lead, and still Osweiler couldn't get into the game. Osweiler was so happy to play a game with Gase calling plays for him. He even said that he even knew what kind of plays Gase wanted to call at certain points of the game. And I think their continuity together is probably going to be the biggest asset while the Dolphins have to play without Ryan Tannehill for an extended period of time.
Yeah, you mentioned Matt Patricia, and you know Adam Gase knows him very well, and he talked this week about how It's this like chess match between these two guys where they're almost trying to predict, well, what does the other guy think I'm going to run here? Where it's like they're always thinking 2-3 moves ahead in that regard. How do you feel that things may play out from that standpoint? And overall, do you think this is another victory for the Dolphins at home, or could they really run into some trouble against Detroit?
I think Adam Gase's familiarity with what Patricia runs, especially, you know, with their matchups against the Broncos and Patriots and the Dolphins Patriots over the years, that definitely helps the Dolphins' favor. I think one thing that the Patriots, one thing that Patricia might not be ready for, or his defense might not be ready for, is, you know, the how they're using Albert Wilson in springs, yeah. And he's breaking free for long runs. The trick plays with Jakeem Grant, which I expect one of those to go off for a touchdown on Sunday. I think that's a big factor. I think, Frank Gore's run really well for them. He's, you know, continued to play fewer snaps than Drake, but he's the feature back, and he's making the most of his opportunities. And I think Barg does pull it out, man. I think the Dolphins pulled this game out on Sunday. I've gone out to say, you know, the Dolphins are going to win this 28-17. Teams just break down in the second half against the Dolphins at Hard Rock Stadium. I think it's going to happen again. And I think, you know, for the Dolphins, if you look at it, without Ryan Tannehill the first two games, with Osweiler a starter, and they win two games, they go to 5-2. I don't think you can take anything away from the Dolphins at that point. That's a really, really great accomplishment by them if that happens.
Yeah, I didn't speak to you before the season started. What was your prediction preseason as to how things would go for Miami this year? And has the 4-2 start changed your opinion on that one way or the other?
I think it was, you know, kind of the 8-8, maybe 9 win kind of realm. And I think the 3-0 start definitely opened the eye a little bit. The 4-2 start has me kind of feeling kind of on the same boat. I mean, when things go wrong for this Dolphins team, they go really wrong. They lost to the Patriots. It was a blowout loss. You lose to the Bengals, and you had a 17-point lead, and Ryan Tannehill had two turnovers in that game. This Bears game, you know, the Dolphins have the joy of winning, but they almost really lost this game. Kenyon Drake fumbled that football. The Bills could have scored on a field goal, but they luckily didn't. If the Dolphins would have lost that game after coming all the way back, you know, I think they were down 21-10 in the third quarter. They came back to tie it up at 28. If the Dolphins didn't come back and lose that game, it would have been 3 straight losses. It would have been a loss that could have probably altered the locker room a little bit too, especially if Drake fumbled in that sense, and that was the end of that game. Dolphins, you know, they got away with a lucky one, and sometimes you're going to need, a lucky one here and there to really boost your record later on in the season. I'm interested to see how the Dolphins do play this out the rest of the year, especially with Tannehill being out. I think they can beat the Lions. I think they can beat the Texans, although I don't like road teams and on Thursday night games. But however long Tannehill is out, he'll need to have the rest. Adam Gase said that surgery is not an option. Rest is the best option for him. And in the meantime, you have a pretty good option in Osweiler, who knows Gase for so many years, and they have some continuity they hope to build on.
We are talking with Safid Dean, covers the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. The Dolphins are being investigated by how they reported the Ryan Tannehill injury last week. What exactly is the NFL looking at there, and do you think that there's some concern about the way Miami may come out of this, maybe a fine, even a loss of draft picks, or do you think they'd ultimately get cleared?
I don't think it's so much more of an investigation, more so than it's a routine thing the NFL does, particularly when reporting injuries for players like starting quarterbacks, like Ryan Tannehill. Essentially what happened last week was Ryan Tannehill was a full participant in practice on Wednesday and Thursday. Then he became a limited participant in practice on Friday, where Adam Gase later said that, you know, maybe the shoulder started to worsen on Thursday, and maybe the NFL is going to look into see if the Dolphins should have listed Tannehill as a limited participant on Thursday. More so than that, Tannehill finished last week questionable to play when maybe before the game everybody started to report that he was doubtful to play. So those are little, you know, details, you know, that kind of maybe swing or make people upset because you feel like other teams may have a competitive advantage or you're trying to get a competitive advantage out of that. I think it's routine, you know, for the NFL to check into things like that. I don't know what could happen, whether it's a fine or a draft pick. I don't think it might have been that drastic of a thing the Dolphins have done. But, you know, the Dolphins went out of their way to rule Tannehill out already this week. I think that goes to show how bad the shoulder got over the course of last week, and how much he really does need to rest, you know, moving forward the rest of the season.
So while we have Safid Dean here on the line, let me ask Tito. I know you were back there. You left the room to do something. Do we have the
song? We're good to go.
All right. I'm going to let Safid be the judge here because, listen, he covers this team on a day in, day out basis. If there's anyone qualified to judge a Brock Osweiler song, it is Safid Dean. So, Savid, you probably remember the way that the Tannehill song sounded a couple weeks ago. I've not even heard this yet, a new, unique Brock Osweiler song. No, I think this is the Tannehill song. Did you play the wrong song? Hold on. He's shaking his head. He says, no, it's different. Is this really different?
Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler.
It's kind of catchy.
Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler.
Wow, the epitome of laziness. And yet it's still really good. Like, I give you a thumbs up. What do you say, Safid?
You know, Tito might not be known well for his hot food takes. But, man, that guy can put out a banger, bro. Let me tell you.
Banger!
Banger. Oh, man. Safid Dean does an excellent job covering the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Follow him on Twitter at Safid_Dean. That's D-E-E-N. Thank you so much, man.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
And check out his work at sunsentinel.com. Okay, I see what you did there. You took the exact same song. You deleted Ryan Tannehill. Made it a Brock Osweiler song, and I hate the fact that I love it. Can you play that for me one more time, Tito? This is brand new. I know that Brock Osweiler, he's a big fan of the puns. He loves Brocktober. The next time I see him, I'm going to play this for him on my phone in the locker room. This Sunday, I will play this for Brock Osweiler.
Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler.
You're not even on the team.
Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler.
The gold record right there. He's just doing it live. It's a platinum record. 7 o'clock hour of the Alex Donner Show coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.